Mate atua, I whakatau, te rangi marie, I a tātou katoa, tēnā koe. He mihi tēnei ki a koe, toku māma, kei te mihi, kei te mihi, kei te mihi. He mihi tēnei ki a korua, kui a niwili, matua mari, kei te mihi, kei te mihi, kei te mihi. Tēnā koutou katoa. Ko wai atu nei, ko Manirawa, taku kāne noho, ko tēnei rahi, taku whare karakia, ko Vince Kilpatrick, ahau. Kia ora everyone, my name is Vince. I just wanted to formally welcome my mum, who is here today, and also Nearly, and her husband, Murray Nearly, is from Kiwi College. She's not here for any reason other than I'm one of her favourites, and she wanted to come along. So, yeah, welcome, guys. My name is Vince. I'm going to Kiwi College this year. I've been studying there. One of the papers I'm doing is preaching. I'm doing okay at it. This is the first time I've preached. So we'll soon know if that's still okay or not. Yeah. The only other thing I wanted to say, which is kind of a public service announcement, but this last week, I while coughing, of all things, I strained a muscle in my side. I'd strained that side already a couple months ago, but it got bad because I've been coughing a lot. So if I sneeze, I would literally need a couple of minutes to get over the pain. So laugh away, do whatever you need to do, but I'll need a couple of minutes to gather myself. So that's what happens if that happens. Yeah. Right. Last Tuesday was Mental Health Day. And so this last week was Mental Health Awareness Week. And I just wanted to read off a description why the theme of that last week was Nature is Key. That was the theme of Mental Health Awareness Week. And so this is what it said. Why nature? Because it's great for everyone. We're encouraging Kiwis to stop thinking of nature as something locked away in national parks and forests, but as the daisies in the berm, the tree outside the window, and the vast, beautiful sky above. It says, spending time with nature makes us feel happier and more optimistic, restores us when we're feeling run down. It reduces stress and it improves life satisfaction. That is what it said about nature. And nature is wonderful and it can do all these things. But I wouldn't be relying on it so much to do those things. And I want to talk about somebody that we can rely on, and funnily enough, the answer to all questions, Jesus. He is the key to living life, to participating in his kingdom, in God's kingdom. Jesus directs us in how to do that here, in this passage we're going to look at, sending us on a mission with his commission. A mission which, if we were to participate in, would go a long way towards making us feel happier, restoring us when we are down, reducing stress and improving life satisfaction. Jesus gives the key. And the key is revealed in his imperative, in his commission in Matthew 28. Oh, I've just realized I've forgotten my Bible. That's a bit of a faux pas. It'll be up here. It'll be up here though, yeah. Let me just pray before we read that. Me inoi tātou. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as the Holy Spirit has revealed much about this passage to me over these past few weeks, may she also reveal to everyone listening here. Reveal your truth, your good news, your commission, God. May your breath enter into the bones of all that are here to receive your word. May you show us how to live in your kingdom And may you bring our hearts and minds to life so much so that we will know you are Lord. Amen. So from Matthew 28, 16 to 20, this is the NIV. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen. So at the start of our passage, we see the disciples worship Jesus. More than standing and singing, one would assume. Prostrating themselves, likely. Worshipping, realizing that Jesus, now resurrected, was God. But right after, it says they doubted. And possibly all of them, scholars argue, in the original language, possibly alludes to all of them. And this doubt, while reading through this text, I actually found wonderful and amazing. And I find it so important that I wanted to labor on it here. The word used to describe this doubt, the doubt of the disciples, is the same word used for when Peter gets out of the boat and is walking to Jesus on the water and he fails and Jesus says, "Why do you doubt? Why are you hesitant?" More accurately, this hesitancy of the disciples, is this really Jesus? Does that mean he is God? Questions would have been going off in their head. And we are told they doubted. And we are told Jesus' reaction. His reaction to his doubting disciples. He came to them. He approached them. He came with love and grace, it would appear. In front of his bunch of doubters. In front of his disciples. His disciples who are standing in front of the risen Lord and are hesitant. I have many hesitancies and doubts. I'm sure we all do. I don't remember standing in front of Jesus like that. And it's awesome to think that the disciples were doubting here. You know, like, I'm sure we are hesitant to bring up Jesus in conversations, even when the opportunity presents itself. I've been in that situation. You have that regret. I should have. It's a great opportunity to bring up Jesus. I was hesitant. We're hesitant to pray before a meal if we've got non-Christian friends around. I've been there. We're hesitant to open up Scripture and discuss it with Christian friends or non-Christian friends. We're hesitant to live like Jesus tells us to in his kingdom. We're hesitant to participate in God's mission. We doubt and we are hesitant to believe in the power of Jesus' word. We doubt what Jesus will do. We are hesitant to believe that Jesus' words transform. We doubt that opening his word can have an effect on someone who may be possibly wrestling with life. And yet we know that when Jesus speaks, stuff happens. When Jesus commanded the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go," he gets up, takes his mat, and goes. Jesus' commands have power. His words here have that same power to his disciples, to the church, to us here now. but we doubt and we are hesitant, the same as the disciples. And Jesus comes to us with love and grace, the same as to the disciples. And Jesus speaks what authority he has in verse 18. All authority in heaven and on earth. And I wanted to linger here. In Jesus's, in God's, in the Holy Spirit's presence. I wanted to cover this base before getting to the commission part. We have the doubt of the disciples. The disciples have the same doubts and hesitancies as us. In this passage, we see Jesus coming to them. We have Jesus' sovereign, comforting words. Jesus is Lord. He has all authority. And what do we see that kind of wraps up the fact that we are doubters? At the end of the passage, I will be with you always to the very end. I will be with you. Again, I wanted to labor this. Jesus is with us in all of this. And I haven't got to the this yet, but we'll get to the this. But let's take this knowledge. Matthew, in writing his book, he ends with the fact that Jesus, God, is with us always. And Matthew, in starting his book, tells us of Joseph, the angel visiting Joseph, and telling him, you will have a son. They will call him Emmanuel. God with us. The start and the end, the whole of Matthew is about God with us. And this dream of Joseph's echoes so much the dream of Jacob's in Genesis. He's having a dream and the heavenly hosts are up and down on the stairs. And God says to him, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. God with us. Moses in Exodus in front of the burning bush is the same. I am with you. God with us. Joshua as well in his commissioning. God says to him, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you. God with us. And so at the close, these last words, end of Matthew's narrative, this emphasis on Jesus being with his people, with the church, with us, now. And let's try and take that assurance into what Jesus asks of us in this commission. And I actually, having read this many times now in the past few weeks, have felt unburdened by sitting with this text. And I really hope that you may feel the same too. So what is our mission from the Great Commission? I've used the word mission a few times now. And I believe this is exactly what it is, our mission. Main imperative in the text. In the Greek language, the construction of the language is different to English. English is an awful language. Greek, I haven't learned it, but there's some cool stuff in there, so I'd quite like to. But the Greek shows that the main command here is disciple. The emphasis is not on a proclamation, but on the task of nurturing into the experience of discipleship. The main command here is disciple. And it is then emphasized by the instructions on how that is done. Where am I to do it? What am I to do? The mission, the church's mission, is to disciple. And every time I have read this or heard it, and this might not be the same for everyone, but every time I have heard it, I always get stuck on the go. It's always the go that I hear. It's always, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teach them everything I command. That's what I hear in my head. I hear it, I'm like, go! And I'm just like, ugh, where am I supposed to go? And quite frankly, I don't want to go. I can't go this week. I'm busy. Don't make me go anywhere. And if I ain't going anywhere, well, then the rest, don't need to listen to it anyway. Can discard it. That's kind of how I have heard this text. This isn't what the go is. Thank you, Jesus. Two things. Therefore, go. The therefore brings us back to this assurance of Jesus' authority. And in New Testament times, to send a letter, like Paul sent many letters, to send a letter, you definitely didn't email, you didn't put it in the post box, you gave it to someone, you gave it to a messenger, and they took it. And you gave that messenger your authority. And that messenger didn't just hand deliver that letter, they spoke it, they performed it. And the audience that was listening to that letter knew that the author's authority was being spoken through those words. Here we have Jesus marking his authority, heavenly as well as earthly, and giving it to the messengers, the disciples, the church, us. Secondly, the verb used is a present continuous. And I may have been taught what that is at school, but I sure as heck didn't learn it. But this ongoing, not a go out, but a as you go. As you are going is this verb. As you go, do this. Well, if we don't have to go anywhere specifically, how do we get to all nations? Yes, the gospel is for all nations. All people, believers and non-believers. And where are all nations? All nations makes it sound like we've got to go to the ends of the earth. And if that's the case, then the start of the earth for me is at the opposite to the finish line being right here. Thanks very much. I'll have the ends of the earth for me right here. It's relative, right? If we talk about the end of something, where is the start? All nations are in this room. All nations are out those doors. Over your fences, out your gates, on your streets, at Southmore, at the gardens, at Pack and Save Takanini if we go that far, groceries. This is not an everywhere, go somewhere else and do the following. It's an everyone, as you go about where you are, do this. So the go, important, but not the most important here. As we go, disciple. Where? Wherever you are. We are to disciple as we go about our lives. And how do we do that? Baptize! I don't baptize as I go anywhere, to be honest. I've never done it. As we go, disciple. And Jesus says, first of all, baptize. Now, I grew up in the Baptist church. And the Baptist church, we do baptism a particular way. I was baptized at 13, and it had a huge significance for me. Definitely during those teenage years, it was this act that when I felt I was going to be doing some less than good choices, it kind of kept me coming back, kept me zigzagging on the very non-straight and non-narrow path that was teenage years. Yeah? But this was not... It's not always the way that baptism or that this word was used. Again, in New Testament times, it was this public declaration. No, that was now. Now it's that. For me, in New Testament times, it was a bringing into the group, an acceptance, an inclusion, initiating someone into identification with the group. It became something more as time went on. But this baptizing was accepting people into a group. And in this case, initiating people into the group of believers being led by the name Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You are part of us now. You're in. It was being accepted, was belonging, being a part of a group, a family, a community. And are these not important factors when thinking about things like mental health? Any health? Belonging? Jesus here is saying, accept into your community, into your church, all people. The church is led by the name Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Bring people into the church, into the community of people that follow me. Bring people into my kingdom. Include them in my mission. How do we do that? Jesus says, by teaching. So it is as we go, disciple. How? By baptizing. That is, accepting and bringing people into your circles. But that is not enough to stop there. We must teach. And what do we teach? Verse 20 says, teach them to obey everything I have commanded. Again, wow, that's a lot. Well, I think it is. In Matthew, there are five main blocks of teaching, five sections of Jesus' teachings recorded. It's the wrong idea surrounds his teaching of keeping the least of these commands. It's not about the need to keep and to earn our way in. And for me, certainly, and I feel sometimes when you look at the laws, that's what it is. It's like we have to be doing this to belong, to be in. But we're in. Jesus' teachings are about what it means to live in the kingdom, not about being good enough. Not what needs to be done to get in. We don't need to do much at all, particularly, just believe, really. And we can't do anything to keep us in. That is God's grace that does that for us. Jesus' teachings are about how to live life in the kingdom, participants in God's mission. His teachings are about kingdom living, how to live when participating in the mission of God. And one of Jesus' teachings in Matthew 5, just after the Beatitudes, some of us will know it. We are to be salt of the earth and light of the world. The world needs to be flavored. Darkness needs to be dispelled. Jesus' way, the way that he teaches, is a call to live a way that is challenging to others. of others, that is unnatural, that is distinctive, not the way that everyone is doing it. Doing life, living his teachings. Again, in the New Testament times, for a disciple, a generic disciple, not just who we know of as the disciples, it was very normal to live with your teacher. At the start of John, there's a scenario where two disciples are being introduced to Jesus, and they say, "Teacher, where are you staying?" Jesus replies, "Come and you will see." The disciples didn't ask, "What do you believe?" or "What are your beliefs?" But, "Teacher, we want to know what you are about. Where do you stay? How do you do life?" And Jesus replies to them saying, "Come, live with me. Listen to my teachings. Pick up on what I am about by seeing how I live. And you decide." If we are living lives that reflect Jesus' teachings, if we are speaking his word, then anyone who receives you or the spoken word, his words, is receiving Jesus. Jesus is with us always. Yes? Therefore, when we are received, we are giving Jesus. And I think that's pretty cool and assuring. As you go, accept and bring people into your circles. Open the word. Live the word. Speak and demonstrate Jesus and his words. Disciple. You know, and the links with the Mental Health Awareness Week, and a number of weeks now, the teen suicide, crazy stats, for whatever reason, they keep getting it at me every time I hear them. 35 countries there are in the OECD, and we're for teens at the bottom. And I was looking at the stats actually, and in New Zealand, so we're worst for teens, but in New Zealand, the worst age group for suicide is my age group. 25 to 29 is the most. And I can't help but think that this kind of discipling, this way of discipling that Jesus describes it, could have a real significance on my age group. Not just my age group, but that's what's speaking to me. We have to choose to participate. We have to choose to disciple. We, the church, people of Manurewa Baptist, visitors, believers, unbelievers, this is our call, our mission. How are we like the description of the mental health awareness? How are we to be daisies in the berm? The tree outside the window, the vast, beautiful sky above. So I kind of visualize that as like a wrapping around people. How are we to do that? Jesus says to us, "All authority is mine. I conquered death. It is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It is our name's authority that you go with. As you go, disciple." Disciple, go about your life, but be intentional with me. While you disciple, welcome and accept people into your lives, your daily lives, into your community, into your homes, into your church building. While you disciple, open my word, my scriptures, my teachings. While you disciple, teach and live my words out. Discuss and live what it is to be in my kingdom. And while you disciple, know that at every single moment, there is no burden for you. Every single moment, you don't have to do this by yourself. I am there with you, present, always. God with us. Let me pray to finish. Jesus, we see a way that you ask us to do life. And I cannot claim that that is how I am doing life. I pray that we would really know, not just in our minds, God, in our bones, that you are with us. It is with you that we go about our lives, God. It is with you that we can have the courage to get over that tipping point of speaking to someone, of approaching someone, whether a stranger or a friend. It is with your courage that we can be welcoming, God. And if we're not good at that, well, if we were all living this way, then I feel like the scales would be evened out. Help us to live with each other, with others, in all the spaces we go, God. Help us to pray with one another, to read your word with one another, God. Give me that courage. Help us to teach one another in the way that we do life. Help our lives to show your teachings, God. And you are with us. Amen.
Vince, I'm just going to get you to read the passage once more, just to send us. This is something, if you're visiting, this is the very passage that we go out with each week. This is the words of Christ that we allow to be spoken to us to inform the week that Christ has prepared for us. So if you do that, Vince, and just for anybody, if you'd like prayer, if there's anything that's happening for you this week and you would like somebody to pray with you, please feel free to just come on up the front after the service, and we'll be real privileged to do that. Thank you, Vince.
When the 11 disciples went to Galilee, they met Jesus, and they worshipped him, and some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."